Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, hour three of Felger and Maz were brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group, BernardiAutoGroup.com on the web. Every week at this hour, we're joined by Christopher L. Gasper. That's Lee. Christopher Lee Gasper of the Boston Globe in our Townford Tire Studios. And so he joins us today. Hi, Christopher.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Okay, so we got some things on the agenda here with Chris. He wants to hit on the Celtics and Smart. He wants to hit on the Patriots and the stretch. Why don't we start with Brady? You actually want to pick up the baton from Smokin' Bob Sosi?
I do. I thought Bob did a nice job. Did a nice job enumerating some of the challenges that Tom is dealing with.
So go ahead, expand yourself.
Well, then why do you need to add?
Yeah.
We'll be, oh, I mean, I cannot add if you don't want me to.
Just shut up and go.
No, I mean, I think that, you know, look, he's come to the realization of what he has and what he doesn't have, and he can't come right out and say it, obviously, but this is a limited, compromised offense that he's dealing with. And I think the biggest difference between other years and this year is I think in the past, even when they were limited, you saw progress. It feels like this offense is regressing to me. I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think it's getting better or worse?
I haven't seen progress, no.
I mean, there's no progress there. The last three times they played, it's been 20 offensive points. You look at having fewer than 350 yards, I think, in three straight games. Like, it's going in the other direction. I think if he were seeing improvement and they were scoring 20 points, 23 points, he'd be okay with that. But I think the issue is that he sees the thing going backwards, and he's like, well, where's the help going to come from?
Oh, I get how he feels. And I don't know if he's necessarily wrong. Is he right to carry himself the way he carried himself after that game?
But I'm telling you, it could be worse. Like, for him to get to that point, think about how frustrated he really is and what the real realization is of what he's dealing with.
What's the real realization of what he's dealing with?
Offensive line, they can't pass protect. They can't run the ball. They can't throw the ball outside the numbers, which is one of the reasons they can't run it, because there's no one to really throw to outside the numbers. You know, tight end's pretty weak. Watson has looked better. Obviously.
I mean, I don't dispute this. They're offensively limited. I don't think it's as bad as, you know, you're portraying, but okay. I agree with generally speaking, they're limited. They're not going to win on offense.
I think, and Bob said this too, and I thought this was a good point. Like, he was okay last year when they got that running game going. Like, you didn't hear him squawking.
That's true.
You know, and I think if they had the running game and were scoring points in the red zone, I think he'd be fine. But I think the issue is, like, nothing is working. And you know, obviously when that happens, a lot of it falls on the quarterback, whether it should or not. I've always said, you know, quarterbacks are like presidents in the economy. They get too much of the credit when it's good and too much of the blame when it's bad. So I think overall, when you look at where it is, look, is that ultimately the way he comported himself on Sunday? Does that make the situation better? No. But as you guys keep saying about the money part, he's human, right? Okay, he's human. In a really tough work situation.
Right, so he had a bad day. Yep.
And we. But is it just one, or is it?
It's just full season.
I mean, I use that as sort of an expression.
Okay.
You know, he's and I've mentioned this many times. He's been impeccable for most of his time here. 90-95% of the time, he carries himself the right way, does the right thing, sucks it up, is a great team player. This is why he's Tom Brady. So, like, but you asked me to grade his body of work. Of course, that's what he is. I think the way he's carried on with this is much, and I was gonna say a little much, but it's becoming a lot much.
I mean, I like that a lot much.
I mean, you know what I mean? It's like I allowed him the pity party to start the year, that he'd get over it, and that 9-1 would be good enough for him, and to carry on like that, and to put it, you know, to be so public about it, which really made himself the story. I mean, your Globe headline, after I thought their best win of the year, to go to 9-1 is Brady fumes after, you know, Patriots victory. That's just. I mean, I'm sorry. I can't excuse that. That's just not good.
I understand what you're saying, but we all acknowledge, right, that when it comes to the Patriots, there's only one acceptable ending to the season, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, win the Super Bowl. And that's the big picture that we talk about. And every time you guys talk about the team, right? That's what we're all using. That's how we're putting the team in focus. So you think maybe the quarterback's doing the same thing?
Yeah.
Do you think the Philadelphia Eagles are the best team that they're going to have to beat to win a Super Bowl?
No, but I think they have enough right now to win it all. They're still a favorite.
Okay, you do. And I think we'll find out. I think the next 3 weeks will tell us. You know, this formula they have, which is a tremendous, tremendous defense and a limited offense, is it good enough to I think we'll find out the next 3 weeks against Dallas, Houston, and Kansas City when you go up against some really good offenses.
Is Houston a really good offense?
I think they're a good offense. I mean, with you know, you look at Deshaun Watson, what
he
can do.
Did you watch last night?
They should be better.
They should be better, but they still have weapons. I mean, the Atkins kid as a tight end isn't bad. He's better than the Ryan Griffin kid that seemed to drop every ball against the Patriots. I don't know if that was because he was from New England or what the deal was, but that guy never caught a ball against the Patriots.
Dallas has the talent, too. Dallas does a better job putting it together than Houston. I look at Houston and say they should be so much better, as Murray just said.
But isn't Watson like a pretty good quarterback? Like,
yes, he is.
Like, I mean, wouldn't Watson, if they were playing Watson this week, wouldn't he qualify as the best quarterback they played all year?
I just don't know why I don't see more out of Houston when I watch him play. They're just not dynamic. I don't know, 20 points last night at home?
Chris, yeah. The part I worry about with Brady and Brady's attitude is that if they're going to get to a point where the offense is going to be good enough in his mind, don't Jacoby Myers and N'Keal Harry have to be a part of it? And if he's rolling his eyes when Myers runs the wrong way, isn't the kid going to be terrified?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is something to that.
Wasn't it you who had the comment from Myers earlier in the year, or Myers and Olszewski, saying, I have to catch it or I might not get another one?
Yeah. Boy, Olszewski, that worked out, huh?
Well, again, all right, so IR.
Good thing they picked him over Demaryius Thomas.
But, well, so again, I didn't like that move either. I mean, letting Thomas go, I thought, was a mistake.
I was fine with
that. Not the only one.
Oh, I don't, no use for Demaryius Thomas.
But don't you think Brady can affect those guys' confidence?
I think that he can. You're right. And I think there's an element of that. But also, it's like, is he supposed to coddle them and baby them and make excuses for them? Like, you know, I mean, either you get the job done or you don't. Like,
okay, but how about some sort of happy medium? Like, again, why does it have to be coddle? And why can't it just be don't roll your eyes and stomp your feet when he runs the wrong
way? Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, you got to catch that. You have to earn his trust, right? And you have to catch the ball in practice. And if that's not happening for one of those two guys, then what do you want him to say?
Is that what you're hearing?
Maybe.
I mean, that was too obvious to let go. So they suck at practice.
No, not both of them.
One of them does. Myers.
Other guy.
The other guy. He's barely been on the field.
Yeah, well, that's part of the problem. So now you're going to force feed this guy into the what playing time do you feel that N'Keal Harry is earning at this point? Is he earning it, or are they giving it to him?
No, right.
They are giving it to him.
I'm not getting the practice reports you are, so I mean, I don't know. But it would seem since he couldn't even practice with him for the first 8 weeks, I don't know what he could possibly have earned in whatever, 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it's a tough spot for the kid. I'm just saying, like, here's this thing where they need it. They don't have a lot of other options. They're going to pump his tires and talk about how he's getting it and how he, you know, practices with an edge. And like I said this before the Philly game, you notice how positive everybody was about him that week. They're like, we like him. He's physical.
Oh, yeah, they were selling
it. He wants to do great. He practices with an edge. That's all true. You know what you didn't hear? Did anybody say he's ready? He's getting it. He's ahead of schedule. Did you hear any of that?
No.
Nobody said that.
Even after the game, no one said he played well or acquitted himself well. So I'm not telling you he's any. I'm not telling the offense is anything. I think it's a measure better than you're portraying it, or can be better.
Okay.
I mean, I think they can score more than 17 points, and I think some of it is on Brady, but they're not a great offensive team, and they're not going to win on offense. But I just don't think Brady acted like a good team player after that game.
I'm surprised that they're not clicking together better at practice, because they did at OTAs. Oh, that's right. Brady didn't go.
Oh, now you're going to blame it on that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Brady was around for training camp, right?
Mm. Yeah, no. He showed up when he wanted to.
I know. It was a dick comment. I'm just telling
it's
you that.
It's not a dick comment.
I mean, when the ball's in your hands and you drop it, what does it have to do with OTAs?
I don't know. I've read a lot of the books written about the Patriots that it was hard work and the first one in, the last one out in the Patriot way. I thought that was a big part of it. I guess it's just not. I guess it's just not.
I have a tidy little sound clip that can really sum up Chris's appearance thus far and Sosie's as well, if you'd like it. Just change the name is all.
Leave Brady alone!
Yeah. Leave Brady alone. I know. We're being far too hard on him. I know.
No, I mean, look, was that a great look on Sunday? No, it wasn't. But I don't think that was just one game's worth of frustration. I think that was an entire season.
Obviously. So my opening take, what I'm interested now in is, because I, you know, I don't think there's any tangible impact to it. Like, I still think Brady is going to try and win these games and totally. Give it his all.
And he's already changed the mood. I mean, you heard that with Jim Gray.
I guess he has. I don't know. I think
little pep in your step.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
maybe he has. Maybe he hasn't. But, what was I just going to say? So you said he's not taking it anymore. He's not going to make excuses for him. This is a different
not publicly,
kind of year.
Yeah.
Right. So does that carry all the way through the negotiating table at the end of the year? Is this so? If he's not going to, he still hasn't gotten over it. Now he's being stubborn. Now, nope, I'm not covering for you anymore. And this is a whole new Brady and a whole new attitude. Does that extend to the negotiating table when you know they put this horrible incentive laden, insulting offer in front of him to come back? Where in the past he's always said yes. Does this time he's saying no? And he carries this thing the whole way through, and this is the new Brady, and I'm done taking it from you. And does that, you know, include the offseason and include the future? That's what I want to know. Let's pick this up on the other side. I know you have Marcus Smart thoughts as well, but we teased the Fuppets. We have new Fuppets.
I love these Fuppets. This is a good Fuppet.
This is a good one. So if you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you're going to see it on video. I hope we can run it, right? Are we going to run it on the NBC Sports Boston? This is the whole point of doing this. Okay. I just haven't seen him change the monitor yet. So you'll see it live here on television. We're going to blast it out on the social medias as well. We'll replay it in the final word. Here's the Fuppets, courtesy of our buddy, Hardy.
It's ridiculous. So this is like I told you, the concept is hardly new.
The batter knows that there's an off-speed pitch coming.
Correct.
So it's as simple as that. There's a camera trained on the catcher. The catcher puts down a 2, a curveball, or a 4 off-speed or something like that. All of a sudden, you hear some banging from somewhere in the Astros dugout, and the batter knows off speed.
Yes.
And so the batter is up, the catcher puts a sign down, and then all of a sudden, from somewhere, you're going to hear. And this is like, you know, so people think like this high-tech clandestine. No! There are a couple guys in the tunnel banging on crap.
They used to accuse the Indians of this all the time, and the Indians used to whistle from the dugout. That's what they would do.
They were paranoid about Bernie Brewer in center field at County Stadium that he was somehow relaying. So this goes on forever.
When the games are played outdoors, they actually send smoke signals.
Felger S.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom, perhaps the noise is true, and you're not hearing it, or you know it, and you don't want to acknowledge it. But if you just have to be, and excuse the expression, because I don't want to be offensive, if you just have to manage the game so that there are no turnovers and let the defense and special teams win, which you have said are terrific, will you be comfortable and happy with that?
I'd like to see us reach our potential as an offense. And like I said, I don't think we've got there yet. And we're only 10 games into the year. We got a lot of football to play. And that's what we're working toward. So I don't think any team's really a finished product. You know, as critical as we can be of our team at times, we're still in a good position. So we're 9-1. And that's a good place to be this time of year. It's not perfect. It's not as bad as the worst teams in the league. But we got an opportunity ahead of us that we're going to try to take advantage of. I'm going to try to play the best I possibly can. I'm going to try to motivate my teammates as best I possibly can. And we're going to try to go out there and put our best performance on the field Sunday against Dallas.
Okay, once again, that's Brady and Jim Gray. I love how they treat game manager like some sort of insult. Like he's about to insult his family and attack his character by calling him a game manager. Good God. But before we get back to the phones, I just want...
Yeah.
Do you think Brady is reluctant and is pushing back on being a game manager? Or do you think he's okay with it and for whatever reason he just can't say it? Because the answer there is, at no point do you say, yeah, I'm happy being a game manager for winning. Like that to me is the easy Brady answer.
Yeah.
Yes, Jim, of course I'm happy being a game manager for winning. That's what I thought he was, but he can't bring himself to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so for some
why?
Reason, I don't think he wants to endorse the term, but if you listen to what he's saying and what he said in some of those things, he'll talk about, you know, I don't mind handing off, or like, for us offensively, what we have to do is take advantage of field position, not turn over the ball. I think this is one where actions speak louder than words. He's more than happy to throw the ball away and not make bad plays if they're winning games. But I think, yeah, that term, I think for whatever reason, is not one he's willing to embrace. Maybe because in his mind, that feels like giving up. You know,
I think quarterbacks treat it like an insult.
Oh, God, they all hate it. They all do. Every quarterback hates it because it suggests that he doesn't have the ability to do something beyond that. That's why we view it as a negative. It's not.
It's not a negative because not everybody can do it. You know, there are a lot of very talented quarterbacks that couldn't go into game manager mode, and that's why they never won anything.
Chris, I would go so far as to say most guys don't do it right.
Right. I agree. I keep saying I love game managers. As long as you're playing for a good program and a good coach, that's all I want you to do is manage.
Honestly, for me, that's kind of been, you know, one of the issues with, like, Jimmy Garoppolo this year is that I don't think he's been, like, a great game manager because I think he's turned the ball over too much.
No question.
I mean, again, Favre, Rodgers, like, my guys, like, they could desperately needed some game management. So I like those guys.
Yeah, it's not a pejorative, but, yeah, for some reason, you're right. Those quarterbacks interpret it that way.
Okay, let's take some calls here for Chris, and then we'll get to a Celtics thought as well. Gerard in Winchester. Gerard, you're up.
Hey, how are you? I'm just trying to I tried to get across yesterday that I think the best offense that I've seen in the Patriots history is the Hernandez Gronk when they were on the field at the same time. And I think the Ravens could compete with that offense.
Okay, let me say the current Ravens compete with that great Patriots. Taking that out. Patriots-Ravens rematch.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your thoughts there.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, it would help the Patriots if they played Lamar Jackson again, but from the standpoint of the Patriots offense, like, they need to do it better. You know, the most explosive play I think they had in that game was basically a go route where James White beat Earl Thomas, and this is one of the things you're seeing. Like, the throws down the field outside the numbers a lot of times in their offense right now are to the running backs. You know, Brandon Bolden can catch one of those. I think he had one against Washington. It's like that's how they're getting it down the field outside the numbers. So they would have to do a better job of that. The Ravens really seem to be coming into their own. And the other thing with the Ravens is their ability to run the ball. Now, the Patriots did a much better job stomping and stopping the run against Philly, but it hasn't always been great this year against the run, as we know.
I mean, those targets to the backs, like, isn't that what happened in 2015 when they lost in Denver? Didn't James White run like 16? Didn't he have 16 targets in that game and they were all on wheel routes? Remember that?
Yeah. So fair. I think the Ravens are a tough out. It would be a good matchup. Be a good matchup, no question. It better be in Baltimore for the Ravens' sake. I mean, that's all I'll say. I mean,
I disagree with that.
Well, they've come here and won before.
Yeah, no, I mean, they can. If anyone could do it, it's them. But I still think. I mean, I just think it's a different ball game here versus there.
I think it better be in Foxborough for the Patriots.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I said. For the Ravens, if I'm the Ravens, you better catch New England in the standings is what I'm saying. Because I don't like your chances here if you're the Ravens. That's what Casey in Maine. Go ahead, Casey.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I think Isaiah Wynn could really make this offense a lot more dynamic. Because, I mean, you've watched the first 10 weeks of the season, and Newhouse is out there. He looks like he lost his keys on every play. The guy sucks, and I'm just so sick of the narrative of he's doing the best that he can out there. I mean, the guy sucks. He's supposed to be an NFL talent, and he's out there. He gets his doors blown off on every single play. And I, you know, you could put my grandmother out there, and she'd be an easy upgrade, and she's dead.
Okay,
so.
Casey, thank you.
That's a little harsh.
are people putting too much on Isaiah Wynn coming back?
I think they are. I mean, it's the expectations are obviously really high, but. How can it not be an upgrade automatically? You know, Newhouse, I think, has struggled. And I think that's part of the limitation of the offense. And I do think that sort of creeped into Brady's head, that he knows that there's not a lot of time there and that on that side, there's probably somebody busting through pretty quickly.
We've got, we talked some Dallas Cowboys yesterday. James in Cambridge wants to weigh in. Go ahead, James.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
It's okay. What do you got?
I just wanted to start off by saying you're absolutely crazy. Dallas in the 90s would have smoked any one of the Patriots Super Bowl teams. Fact, not opinion.
Oh, you're so wrong. And you don't go fact opinion there. That's this exact thing you can't go fact opinion on. It's like a fantasy argument. Don't be silly. Save that for when it's really a fact. The Patriots versus the 90s Cowboys.
Ooh, those would be some good games.
This is my point.
Which Patriots team? Because I have to be honest, the 0-1 team I think would have gotten annihilated by the Cowboys in their prime.
I think some of these recent ones would have. That 0-1 team might have held the score down to make it close. So the 90s Cowboys versus the 03-04 Patriots, which I still think are the gold standard Patriots.
I know you do, yeah. That would be a good game.
It'd be a good seven-game series, yeah. And it would go seven.
Obviously, the 07 Patriots would blow doors on those Cowboys.
So I think the 07 Patriots would get smoked.
They would.
They'd
get
Cowboys.
Obliterated.
They're not physical enough.
No,
they weren't tough enough.
They get smushed.
You'd have to stand up to the run in that offensive line. You'd have to be able to go toe-to-toe in the trenches. And the Patriots in 03-04, their trench play, their line play was awesome. And that defensive line was great. That Dallas offensive line versus the Patriots 03-04 D line, that would have been good.
But I'll tell you what, you would have a coaching advantage, but not a huge one. Assuming it's Jimmy Johnson.
Do
not
I get
Barry Switzer?
Switzer. Yeah.
No, you get Jimmy Johnson.
Okay,
you get Jimmy Johnson.
I'm glad we brought this up because we were debating this yesterday. I happen to think Jimmy Johnson is a better coach than Felger does. Felger thinks he was a peculiar talent. But let me put it to you this way.
Yes, sir.
Jimmy Johnson going to wet his pants coaching against Bill Belichick?
No.
No, definitely not. No.
Right? You're telling me third and two? He'll put it in the air if he has to kill the clock. Jimmy Johnson will do what he has to do to win the game. He's not afraid of Bill. That's half the battle.
Yeah, fine. Fair enough. Yeah, so like I said, I mean, that 90s.
So I win.
The 90s Dallas team is good. But I still have no respect for them. They were cocaine binge. You know, their run really lasted 4 years. You know that? Like, four straight years, they went to the conference title game. They won 3 Super Bowls out of those 4 years. But outside of that, they never got out of the divisional round. It was like a 4-year run. It's a disgrace with that kind of talent. That's all you got out of that?
Well, because once Jimmy Johnson was out of there, I mean, the thing was like on autopilot. I mean, I think what speaks to how good they were, what's more amazing, they won a Super Bowl with Barry Switzer.
It is. It's unbelievable.
That's like you being the coach of the team. Can you imagine how talented a team you have to win a Super Bowl with Barry Switzer.
Exactly. Seriously. That's exactly. Like Freddie Kitchens.
And the only reason that Jerry Jones hired Barry Switzer was because Switzer was like the arch rival of Jimmy Johnson in college when Jimmy Johnson was at Oklahoma State and Barry Switzer was at Oklahoma, and then it was, you know, Oklahoma-Miami. Like, he literally was like, I'm going to show you how useless you are by me hiring this guy that can't coach at the NFL level, and we're still going to win it.
Okay, Gasper on the Celtics coming up right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling. HelplineMA.org.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Lou Williams looking for Kawhi. He's muscled by Mark Smart. Handoff denied by Smart. He saves it from going out of bounds. It's going to be Boston ball.
He threw that ball back. He made the steal.
He fell out of bounds, and he threw it. He must have thrown it off Kawhi. And Marcus Smart is giving the Celtics a chance here, down 3 with 18.5 to go.
You know this game cannot go quietly in the dark.
What a play by Smart, huh, Chris?
Yeah, that was a great play. Great play. I would have preferred him to make one of the 5 shots he missed in the final 2.5 minutes of regulation and overtime, but... Yeah, that play was good.
So you implying the play is thus overrated?
It is overrated. Yeah. I mean, I think he was, and I'm not saying statistically, because I'm sure someone will come back at me with the stats that will show that somehow he was a net positive. But if you watch the last 2.5 minutes of that game in overtime where he was 1 for 6, the only shot he hit was that hook shot, which I still think Montrezl Harrell actually tipped into the basket.
That way he did.
Okay, that was the only one he made. He missed a reverse layup. He airballed a three-point attempt that led to the Lou Williams three.
Right.
That gave them the lead, gave the Clippers the lead.
And Jones was saying, go back and watch it last night. But Jones hates Marcus Smart, so this is like, consider the source. But that Marcus stood there and didn't get back, and that's why Lou Williams leaked out. It was Marcus's guy.
I wouldn't be surprised by that. He airballed a floater in overtime that led to the dagger Patrick Beverly three, and he clanged two other threes. But he made that great steal.
So, clang is the right word, too. He clangs him when he misses, man.
I mean, he made that great steal, so we're going to focus. It just frustrates. Like, I like the guy. He's a good player, but he's a role player, and you sort of have to know your role, and you shouldn't have taken 20 shots in that game. If you go through his last three games here, because remember the whole Marcus Smart shooting renaissance, here it comes. Oh, he's turning the corner. Last three games, three-point percentage, 17.2%.
Mm-hmm. Is that the 4 for 29? Oh, no, he's 4 for 29 in the last four.
This is the last three games. Field goal percentage over the last three games, 29.2%. So that play is a great play. And I appreciate it. But literally him making any of those other baskets is more valuable than that play.
Well,
and so I feel like he's getting overrated in the way that Rondo got overrated, because he's a limited offensive player who still finds a way to impact the game greatly, which you have to give him credit for. Then we don't really discuss or give due weight to the limited offense when it hurts the team. And it hurt the team at the end of that game.
So Marcus Smart, I love from a show standpoint, because he's become this guy. And not that they're all sort of the same, but just work with me. They're polarizing in terms of, are they worth it? Jackie Bradley. He's like the Jackie Bradley equivalent. Well, there's some people who think, he helps you win games and you got to put up with the batting average because when he's out there, good things happen. And Jackie Bradley, the Jackie Bradley hippies.
Sure.
I guess maybe Chris Kelly would be an equivalent for the Bruins, or, every team sort of has a guy like that where, he kind of sucks, but he does so many other things well that you got, and it's like a polarizing figure. I'm in on Marcus Smart. So I'm on I'm anti Jackie Bradley. I was anti Chris Kelly, but I'm pro Marcus Smart. But I understand he's this guy.
But I feel like
you could just eliminate the bad shot gene.
Well, I mean, we talked about it all day yesterday.
But those shots weren't bad shots. He just didn't make them because that's who he is offensively.
Okay, but
for me, it's like you can't amplify. Like sometimes the big things, like, I don't know, putting the ball in the basket, matter more than the little things like that. Okay, and this was a game where that mattered more.
Chris, this is my point, though. Is he a great shooter?
No.
Then it's a bad shot. There's a better shot on the floor. This is my point, is that you can say he was open. I still want the ball in someone else's hands. There's a better shot than Marcus Smart hucking up 11 threes. He went 1 for 11 from three-point land.
How much you put on Brad? That he doesn't slow that train. That he doesn't get to Marcus and give him a stop sign or dial up a play for someone else. Or, I don't know, get Jason Tatum more than one shot attempt in the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter, Marcus Smart, 7 shots. Tatum,
I know.
Tatum, 1.
Yeah, so. Well, Jaylen Brown, the only shot that he had in the last, 5 minutes was a fast break dunk. So, not to go on a different tangent here, but that whole, ringer story about, okay, Tatum and Brown and all that, and compared to Harden and Westbrook and these other guys. Like, if we're going to do that comparison, don't you think those other tandems, like in the fourth quarter of a game like that, the other guy would get more than one shot?
This is what I'm talking about. How much is on the coach?
I think some of it's on Brad. I think that they value so much what Smart does, but I'd say it's the same with the fan base. To a certain degree, you're overvaluing it. And again, little things, I appreciate that. The little things matter. But sometimes the big things matter more. And to me, that was a game where the big thing, putting the ball in the basket, mattered more than that play that he made. That one play did not outweigh the shots he missed that set up dagger threes on the other end for the Clippers.
Tell you what, when you look at the three-point attempts he's been taking, holy crap. Like the last 7 games, 9, 7, 8, 9, 8, 10, 11.
Wow. He thinks he's world be free.
Holy crap, he does. He thinks he's Steph Curry.
Yes.
Yeah, Glenn Rice 2.0 out there for crying out loud.
I love it.
Sniping threes. Ray Allen Jr., holy crap, he's taking 9 threes a game?
No, it's always been his problem.
Craig Hodges.
He thinks he can shoot.
Wow. Holy crap!
No, they need to give him the they need to give him the red light. But again, I think he's empowered by the fact that Hayward's out, that he sort of has totally a leadership that. Role on the team, right? And that even when he misses, everybody pats him on the head over plays like that and says, well, you still were a net positive for us and you really helped us because you made that one play. Like, that outweighs five missed shots in the last 2.5 minutes of the game and overtime, you know, two of which didn't touch the rim.
Andrew and Dedham, you want to weigh in on this?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to touch on this. I think Murray brought it up this week, but he has to be more like the Rodman of the team. I saw some stat earlier this week. Rodman went through a three-game stretch with the Spurs where he had 0 points but 20-plus rebounds. Those are the things that matter for him. The shooting's got to stop.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know why he just can't be that, why he can't cross midcourt and say, okay, now I'm going to fill this role.
Yeah.
And that is, he's a good passer. He's a really good passer.
He's an excellent passer,
I think. And I think the offense runs when he has the ball and he distributes. And so why can't you just be more of that?
Because that's not what you expect from the number six pick in the draft, which is what he was, which is another part of the thing that sort of annoys me. It's like, you know, look, I like the guy. I'm glad he's on the team. I'd want him on my team any day of the week. But you don't use the number six pick in the draft on like a, you know, grit and glue guy. And I think that's part of the reason why he has a hard time putting the governor on the shooting. Because when you're the number six pick in the draft, you expect to be more than sort of what he provides.
So I disagree with the caller. He doesn't need to stop shooting. He needs to shoot less. Like, he's going to have to shoot. Let's not be ridiculous about it. Rodman was completely inept offensively. But Smart's not that bad. I mean, Smart can pass. You know, he's a reasonable ball handler. I wouldn't put him in the class of elite. He's not a complete bum either. Like, he's probably somewhere in the middle. And there are going to be shots that you want him to take. But 11 threes?
We continue with your thoughts on this. The Patriots. Gasper gives us a Patriots-Cowboys preview. All that in our long commercial-free segment next. I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelpLineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
He's doing an outstanding job. I can tell you firsthand that in his spot, you have to, with people that you're counting on to help build and to help excel as far as the National Football League, and I'm talking about the owners. You have to know that you're going to make some decisions that are very unpopular with that particular group. This is the case. I can speak to that because on a personal basis, as well as for my franchise and our Dallas Cowboy franchise, we've had that happen to us. I'm sitting here living with the result of the commissioner's decision still today that I didn't agree with when it happened. And so that you can some of the very people sometimes that have the biggest complaint, they're the ones that give you a phone call and tell you, hey, let's be a team player now. And let's all get in here and realize that this happens to everybody, and let's go on and compete. We've got a great league and a great game. And so that I would remind any and everybody that we do, we've got a commissioner that is outstanding. He has to make hard calls. And more often than not, you're going to have a season or you're going to have a period of time when those go against you as an owner in the NFL.
So I just played that. That was Jerry Jones in the middle of Deflategate 2015.
Remember this.
And it's just a way to get into the rivalry, because I think there's an ownership rivalry here in this game. And there's not a great Patriot-Cowboy rivalry, or, you know, I think if you're looking for a hook like that, you go to the owners here. Because that was great. That was a great comment by Jerry Jones. I loved it at the time. 2015, middle of Deflategate. You know, Roger Goodell's the devil. Roger Goodell. And he comes out and says, I think he's doing a great job. Wonderful. And, you know, sometimes the very people that are complaining about the guy now are the ones that call you up when you're going through your thing and say, you got to be a good partner and take your medicine. And, you know, just sort of directly calling out the crafts like, oh, God. Like, look at these guys. When you know, and what they did to Jones, I thought was far worse than what they did to you. They had the whole thing was they had an uncapped year. So the whole point was that there was kind of a poison pill, if you will, at the end of that last CBA, where teams could go over the cap. There was no cap, and that was supposed to be a disincentive to let it run out. But they let it run out, and there was an uncapped year. And so Jones said, "Okay, great, no cap," and he spent. And the owners came back and fined him for overspending in a year without a cap. Talk about basically admitting collusion against the players. So
Redskins too, then.
Right? Yeah, Daniel Snyder.
It was both him and Snyder, yeah. And so they, so the league fined or, you know, punished Jones and Snyder. They fought it. And obviously Kraft was at the time saying, hey, Jerry, got to take your medicine. So Deflategate comes around and Jones says, I think this guy's doing a great job. Take your medicine, Bobby. You know, just... And I think there's a good rivalry there at the ownership.
Well, that's your classic case of what goes around comes around, right? You're going to sit there and on one hand say, oh, no, you got to take your medicine. Sooner or later, it's going to be you getting fed the you know.
Cod liver oil?
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. Just shut up and take the penicillin. Yeah. Like, that's it.
So anyway, that's just to get into Patriots-Cowboys. Who do you like this week, Chris, and why?
I like the Patriots because they're at home, but I like this part of the schedule. I'm excited about this part of the schedule. To evaluate the Patriots. I think they're going to learn a lot about themselves. I think we'll learn a lot about them because you look at this Cowboys offense and they're good. And I think Dak Prescott is having an MVP type year. And they have a lot of weapons. It's not a one-man show with Amari Cooper. They have a lot of weapons. So I think we'll see just how good the Patriots defense is, and we'll see what it looks like when they have to combat offenses that are more prolific. And I think the one thing we've seen this year, and this is my concern sort of with the Patriots up to this point, wouldn't you agree that the NFC is superior to the AFC?
Oh, yes.
Like, whoever the Patriots end up facing in the Super Bowl should be pretty legitimate.
Yes.
And we'll have, like, a legitimate offense and a legitimate quarterback.
Yep.
And so I like this stretch here of Dallas. I know you're not as high on Houston, but I'm high on the quarterback, at least.
Yep.
Dallas, Houston, Kansas City. Let's see what it looks like. Let's see if this defense-first formula, Brady and the offense only have to score 20 points or whatever. Let's see if that works and that applies. Because I would be fearful that they will get to the Super Bowl, and they will. You know, they would get to the Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a second here. What's going on? Like, here are the Vikings or the Saints or the Seahawks or Jimmy G and the 49ers and one of these teams that's actually balanced and has multiple weapons and has a quarterback that's not going to wet himself. And it's kind of like, well, what do you mean? We just dominate. And then you end up not having the trophy at the end of the year. So I like this part of the schedule for the Patriots. I think it's very instructive. I think it will help them in the long run.
Chris, in this game, if you switch coaches, what's the score?
Dallas 31-17.
Maybe less. Maybe a bigger gap.
Oh, my God. If you gave Belichick gap, this team,
the
Cowboys are loaded.
The talent gap is that big.
Well, the coaching gap is that big.
No. Okay, well.
I mean, if you gave Belichick that team, are you kidding me? Oh, my God.
I think it's bigger. I do. I think it's like, 35-13.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
This team has a ton of talent.
I think Jason Garrett is a boob. He's a boob, for crying out loud. Bill's having a hard enough time with this offense with Brady as it is. You're going to put Jason Garrett out there? He'll start turning it over all kinds of crap.
I don't even know. I don't think Bill would enjoy himself with this Cowboys team, though. And it has nothing to do with Jerry Jones or the other stuff. I feel like Bill likes to, whether he does it, you know, subconsciously or consciously, he likes to build in a little degree of difficulty for himself, I feel like.
Chris, the only part of what you said that I disagree with is I think the stretch started with Baltimore.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you can look at it as a five-game stretch, but I just think that how prolific the passers are, you know, because you can chalk up the Lamar Jackson thing to a one-off, right? Unique offense. Jackson still only threw for, what, like 163 yards or something like that? So it's like, okay, you know, I think if you're their defense or you're a Patriots fan, you can write that one off and say, well, who runs that offense and who's like Lamar Jackson? But now you face these teams with these quarterbacks who are also mobile, not like him, but can really throw and can throw better than he can. And now you get a real sort of idea of where you stand.
I mean, with Baltimore, four MVP candidates, a quarterback in 5 weeks. Four in 5 weeks. Now, again, Mahomes got hurt, but he's, you know, a lot of people believe he's the best quarterback in the league. You're seeing legit players now.
Chris, give me a thought on like on-field matchup. Like, are the Patriots vulnerable somewhere against this Dallas team?
I mean, I think it will come down to, you know, offensive line for the Cowboys, and let's see, you know, if they have the right tackle, Collins or not, versus the Patriots front. You know, if Dallas can establish the run and get the play action going and protect Prescott, I mean, it's pretty amazing. And I think that Bob Sosi might have mentioned this, but, you know, the Patriots have recorded a sack in every game this year, where the Cowboys are number one in the league in fewest sacks allowed per pass attempt. They've allowed only 12 sacks this year and 378 dropbacks. That's one of the reasons that Prescott's having such a great year, is because he gets great pass protection. And then Amari Cooper and Randall Cobb and Michael Gallup and Jason Witten and Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard and all those guys have time to uncover and get open. So if the Patriots can't get pressure on Prescott and can't stop the run, then it's going to be an issue. So I think this is another big game for Danny Shelton, Lawrence Guy, those guys up front.
If I'm Dallas, I try to run. That's what I would do. I would try to run, because honestly, if they drop back to pass, I'm not sure if they can get pressure, Chris. I like the Patriots secondary against the Dallas receivers. Gilmore gets Cooper, right? And then Jones has been terrific, so he'll get Cobb. I'm comfortable with that. Then where do you lose? Like, I like that. If I'm the Patriots, I'll take that.
I don't know if you've listened to the station today. Sounds like you have a little bit. Have you heard this Adam Jones promo that we keep running?
No.
You don't have the ability to run it, Jimmy, do you?
Stand by.
Okay.
Fill for about 30 seconds.
Okay. We'll get it. And, okay. Because I want your opinion.
I love myself. I love some good Dark Knight.
Oh, my God. He's...
vitriol. That's the best.
You want someone to take down Marcus Smart? I'm going to say takedown, but your analysis there is like child's play.
It's really?
Like, oh my God, compared to excellent. What Jones does to Marcus.
Okay.
Oh yeah, no,
God.
You're rated G compared
with the sarcasm.
Dark Knight is all set for you.
All right, let's do
it. Okay, let's hear it. Go.
Adam Jones, Knights.
The way Brady's played over the last month, there's going to be a few more names that I would take ahead of Tom Brady. And I would add to Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson, this guy that we're seeing on Sunday. Dak Prescott is having another phenomenal year. 26 years old, about to get paid. Currently your passing leader in the NFL. That's another name that in 2019, I'm taking over Tom Brady. It's a long way of saying this is another quarterback who's passed Tom Brady by. The guy you're going to be seeing Sunday for the Dallas Cowboys, number four, Dak Prescott.
Adam Jones. 9-6, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dak Prescott has passed Tom Brady by. Thoughts?
I mean, Prescott's definitely having a better season. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, that's, you have to look at it. But I'd also say, you know, again, what I just mentioned about the pass protection and the weapons, it's, again, it requires some context, kind of to tie it all together, like the Marcus Smart thing. Hey, great hustle play, but not as valuable as any of the five shots you missed here in the last 2 minutes in overtime, two of which led to dagger threes.
So the reason I ask you, though, because it put you at a crossroads. I mean, because sure. You're the ultimate.
I love Dak. Like, I'm a big Dak
exactly.
guy. I am all in on Dak Prescott.
This is what I mean.
He's like, you know, on the Russell Wilson path. I think the guy's just a winner.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
And on the other hand, you're like Brady's chief of staff. So it's like, where do we go with that?
Seriously, though.
Who gets the check mark?
For quarterback?
Yes.
This week?
Chris Gasper,
no,
yes, communications.
No. This week. Who gets a check mark? Who's going to have a better game?
I think Dak, because of what's around him.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah, I think Dak will have a better game.
And, well, he's going against a better defense.
Yeah, I still think he'll have a better game, just what's around him. And I think, you know, Tom's playing with one hand tied behind his back.
Gasper and Jones of a like mind.
It's unbelievable, true. Right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, true. We said what would happen in this game if you change the coaches. What if you change the offensive lines?
Yeah, so that'd be another one.
The Patriots would kill them if they had Dallas's offensive line.
Chris, trying season for Tommy.
Chris, thanks for coming by. Yeah, thoughts right. and prayers. We'll see you next. No, we won't see you next Friday. So same with the associate.
Hey, Chris, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well.
All of that crap as well. Okay, here comes an update with Murray. 90 seconds. There are no spots. The latest on Mohamed Sanu and his status comes your way right here. Again, no spots. Then we're back for a final agenda-free hour.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline. lifelinema.org.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do. The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.